Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
We've been talking about bringing out your best. We've taken this from Romans in the Message version, Romans chapter 12. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing God and what He does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. And here's what we're going to look at today. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but our series has included 3 points so far. Today's the fourth one, and all of them are on the front of your bulletin, because it's what we here at Faith Assembly agree is this is the process that we want to take everyone through so that everyone can be the person, be the Christian that God wants them to be. I hope you would agree with me. That's the responsibility of the church. Responsibility of the church is to help new people find Christ and to make disciples of them when they do. That's a pretty simple process as far as what the job description is. So we're going to talk about enjoying fulfillment. And I've already read this to you. You know, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. How many of you understand that sometimes the best doesn't come out of you? Sometimes we're a little slacking in that. And He wants to develop well-formed maturity in you. Now, let me just review so that we all are agreeing and on the same page. We begin with this understanding of how we need to love God. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is very simple. Love God, all your heart, soul, mind, being, strength. Love Him with all your heart. Love God. That's what He wants from you. Well, what does that look like? Anyone can say they love God, but what does it look like to us? Well, first of all, we talked about in the first week, I need to live by faith. That means I need to believe right. I need to believe right. I need to come to that place where I understand I have to live by faith, believing what God says. Now, here's the hard thing about faith. Faith is simply this. You don't get all your questions answered. You have to trust God. There's a lot of things I don't understand. Why does God do this? Why does this happen like this? What does it mean by this? I don't know. But I choose to put my faith in God and believe in Him, even with all my questions. Because everyone lives by faith. If you're not putting your faith in God, where else are you putting it? And if you're putting your faith in yourself, that's a frightening way to live. And so we come to that thing of understanding. I begin my walk with God by faith. I continue my walk with God because the Bible says the righteous will live by their faith. And so faith is the key element of your walk with God. You understand some, but you do not understand all, but you choose to believe it anyway. Then I need to find freedom. The second week. And we talked about how that means I got to behave righteously. That means when I come to Christ, I have to change the way I think. Our Romans passage, that's basically what it says. You've got to think differently. You don't get to think like the rest of the world. You now think biblically. You now think spiritually. Because here's what we all understand. You won't change your behavior until you change how you think. And as a Christian, I don't think like the rest of the world. I don't think like I'm a Republican. I don't think like I'm a Democrat. I don't think like I'm a politician. I don't think like everybody else. And see, too many times we Christians, we call ourselves Christians, but we still think like this. And so if I'm going to change my behavior, I have to change how I think. Because Christ wants to set me free. We all tend to have habits that control us, that are out of bounds, ways of living, ways of thinking, that God says, I want to set you free from that. I don't want you to have to be controlled by a substance. I don't want you to have to be controlled by an attitude. I want to set you free. So let's change your thought process so that your faith can be lived out in a manner that is visible. God says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And so I find freedom by behaving righteously because my mind, I now have the mind of Christ. Then, not only am I to love God, I'm to love others. You know, I was okay with this loving God thing, but now I got to love you. That's just really difficult sometimes, isn't it? It's just really hard. And Jesus said, look, I want you to love other people the same way I love you. Oh, boy, that's really, I don't know. And so last week we talked about I have to choose to follow. I have to relate responsibly. You see, not only do we have to help you understand what you believe because you're going to live by faith and you got to believe that, not only do we have to try to help with here's how a Christian behaves, but now we got to come into the thing and said, would you two just get along? We don't like getting along with people. You know why? Because people don't treat us the way we should be treated. I deserve more. You need to respect me. Relationships are hard, aren't they? But here's what we understand and know. You will only be as happy in life as your relationships are. If you have a hard time with relationships, life isn't very enjoyable, is it? You will only be remembered in life for your relationships. That's what matters most. And see, the thing is, we tend to be very selfish people. We want our way. And when I got to have a relationship with somebody else, that means I got to let you have your way sometimes, even though we all know your way's wrong and my way's right and better. Or maybe your way isn't quite wrong, my way's just better than your way. And why do we have to do this? Because by nature, we are very selfish people. It's all about us. We want what we want. We want to behave like we think is right. We want to make other people behave like we think is right. So I have to come to that place where I'm going to choose to follow God, and I'm going to choose to follow him. That means I have to choose to enter into a relationship with other people, all Christians. I'm called to love them. Well, okay, I'll love them, but I don't like them. We talked last week, that's an impossibility, isn't it? God doesn't say to you, I love you, I just don't like you. Aren't you glad for that? And so you and I love people like God does, and that means relationships are there, and relationships are hard, and relationships are messy, aren't they? But relationships help you grow up. You see, you put immature people who haven't learned how to get along together in a marriage, you got a real problem. And basically, all marriage problems are just immaturity of selfishness in people's part who haven't learned how to get along with somebody else and doesn't have to have their way. It's my way or the highway. That was last week. This week, enjoy fulfillment. I want to be fulfilled in life. And God tells me how to be fulfilled. He says, I want you to serve. I want you to serve others. Pastor, hold it. You're telling me that if I serve people, I'm more fulfilled in life? Yeah. You see, fulfillment in life comes when I serve God by serving others. We all like to serve. Several months ago, Hurricane Irma plowed through here. The aftermath of that was always fascinating to me because suddenly everybody wants to step up. What can I do? How can I help somebody? Can I take some food somewhere? Can I pass out some water? Can I do something? Everybody wants to be involved to help somebody else. Neighbors help neighbor. People that you maybe didn't even know before were willing to be a part and to help. Everybody feels a need to help. God says, I've made you and created you. I want you to be fulfilled when you have something to do to serve other people. Adam and Eve, from the very beginning, when God made them, he gave them a job to do. You take care of the garden. It's yours. Care for it. He just put boundaries on it. And so I want to enjoy fulfillment. Well, are you sure? Is this really right? Well, okay, let's start. First of all, Jesus set the example. He always does. Do you know anything that God asked you to do, Jesus did? Okay, you do now. That Jesus set the example for us and showed us how to live. And if you want to know how to live, start reading the Gospels. And just watch how Jesus responded to people. And look how he treated people. And just notice how he lived his life. It'll give you an understanding of, wow, this is how life needs to be lived. So Jesus set the example. Now I'm about to show you some verses you probably won't like. I'll just give you a heads up, all right? They're hard. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. Officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it'll be different." That's pretty in your face, right? He's talking to his disciples. Look, this is the way the rulers do it. This is the way the people in the world do it, but not you. You're not going to live like that. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. Everyone else? For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Wow. How much did Jesus serve? He served to death. Who did he serve when he did that? Us. And he said, because this is the way it works, you're not going to be like everybody else. You don't get to live like the culture you live in, which is what the Romans passage in the Message said. You and I have a responsibility to live above that in a different way because we don't think like everybody else. Our culture thinks, hey, do everything you can to get to the top. Jesus says you want to get to the top, you start at the bottom. Matthew 23, the greatest among you must be a servant. The greatest person in the room today is the one who serves the most. Not my words, right? Hello? Okay, don't leave me alone up here. Jesus sets the example. Now, anything he asks you to do, he always shows you how to do it. And so if he said, this is what I want you to do, then we understand, don't we, that Christians are expected to serve. It is an expectation of you, once you come to Christ, that you should be serving, that you are a servant. Now, these next verses are really, really hard. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does the master say, come in and eat with me? No. He says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, serve me while I eat, you can eat later. Wow. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Does he give him a that-a-boy? Does he do something, a little pat in the back? Oh, wow, you know? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants, here it is, who have just simply done our duty. We haven't done anything exceptional. We haven't done anything that we should be pointed out. We've just done what was expected of us. We've done our duty. I wish that wasn't there, right? Come on, be honest with me. Pastor, that's a little hard to take. You mean God expects me to serve others and not really get recognition? That's exactly what it means. That you need to understand that when you come to Christ, it's not something that, oh, wow, look, they're serving. It's just simply, good, they're serving. That's what they should be doing. It's expected of you. So when you become a Christian, God expects you to serve. Galatians 5:13. You've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. This just keeps getting better, doesn't it? Wow, this is what God expects me to. Yes, it is. So, one more verse. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things He planned for us long ago. So we can do the things He's planned for us long ago. So you and I are to follow Jesus' example, and when we become a Christian, God expects us to serve others. It's not something that pick and choose. It's not just, well, if I feel like it. It's not, well, I don't think so. He's saying very clearly, look, I expect you to love other people. I expect you to be in relationships. And the way that that looks is that you're serving others. They're not serving you. And that's a hard pill for us to swallow in our day and time when it's all about our rights. When it's all about you owe me. When it's all about I deserve better. Nobody's going to treat me this way. I'm not going to be a doormat for anybody. Shouldn't a little light click on in our heads as Christians that when the world promotes something like that, we should just think, well, if they're promoting that, then it's probably not that. Right? It's probably the opposite. And so he says, look, this is what I expect. Well, but Pastor, you don't understand. I just don't have the ability. I just can't. No. Let's go on. Christians are empowered with spiritual gifts. Jesus, God, never asked you to do something that He doesn't qualify you to do. And so He says, I'm asking you to do this. I'm telling you to do this. I'm commanding you to do this. I expect you to do this. And to help you, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to help you do this well. And so, He says, I'm going to give to every Christian a spiritual gift. Well, where'd you come up with that, Pastor? It's called the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There's different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who works in all of us. Now notice here, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. The gift is not for your benefit, it's for the benefit of others. Peter writes, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And so God comes to that place. He says, look, I'm setting the example for you. I'm showing you how to live. My life completely was lived on this earth to serve you, to die for you, so that you could have more. And He says, when you come to me and accept me by faith and choose to live by faith, and when you choose to begin your behavior to be different, I expect you to have a relationship with people, and I expect you to serve them. Well, Pastor, I don't understand all this. Let me kind of go to one area that I think a lot of people get confused in. There's two kinds of service that basically you and I have. One of them is secular service. You volunteer in an organization. For at least 25 years or more, I've been involved in secular service. For a while, I was in the Kiwanis. I was a part of that group. For many, many years, I'm on the North Fort Myers Chamber of Commerce. I'm on the board. I'm a past president. Me and another gentleman on that board have been there longer than anybody else. In fact, twice as long as everybody else. I'm still there. It's a part of me being willing to give back to the community. It's a part of me to stand in touch with people who aren't church people all the time. There's all kinds of volunteer organizations you can give your time to. Some of them are very worthwhile. Some of them aren't. You need to know if you're doing that. And so a lot of people, well, I'm serving in a secular group. I do this in this group and this and this. Great. You should. You can. That's wonderful. But not only is there secular service, there's also spiritual service. Now, here's the difference. You have natural born gifts, abilities that you can take and use in the secular field. You can use them to serve the community. Great. But when you get saved, God adds to that a spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift is for a very specific purpose. It is not for you to take and use it in the secular field. It is for you to use it in the church, a spiritual place. Okay, Pastor, show me how you come up with that one. Ephesians chapter 4. Now these are the gifts God gave to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Bad news for you, I'm your gift. You got gypped. Okay? It's just, yeah, I know you got short-sighted. I'm sorry, but that's it. It is what it is. So he says, I'm going to give these to the church. And then he goes on to say, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do God's work and build up the community. No, to build up the church, the body of Christ. He then goes on to say, you know what? If you'll do this, you'll not be immature anymore, tossed back and forth. And then he picks it up in verse 15. Instead, we won't be going back and forth. We'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow. So that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Wow. He says, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you the ability to do something that will build up the church, the body of Christ. And I want you to use it for that purpose. Now, if you say, well, Pastor, I don't have a gift. If you don't have a gift, then you aren't doing anything because you don't need a gift. Well, how do I find my gift? You just start serving. Well, what if I get in the wrong place? You serve somewhere else. That's how you find out what you enjoy and what you're good at. And you serve. You volunteer. You give your time here in this place. This is your church. You are here. God has gifted you to build up the body of Christ. Well, Pastor, you're just saying that because you need more workers. Okay, sure, we always need workers. But first of all, let me commend you. We've done the numbers in this church. Our percentage of people who volunteer is higher than most churches. You're to be commended for that. You really are, yeah. Give yourself a hand. And so, you know, yes it is. But that's not why I'm asking. Why I'm asking is you need to serve for your benefit. Because you're never going to find fulfillment as a Christian until you're doing something for somebody else to build up the body of Christ, the church. That's the way it works. Well, Pastor, I can't. I'm only down here 3 or 4 months. Well, is that the same excuse you use when you go back home? You see, we got room for everybody. Why? That's our job. To help you grow. You're never going to grow in your walk with God until you serve. You see, God says, look, I'm going to help you grow up spiritually. I'm going to help you be mature, and I'm going to do it in two ways. One, I'm going to help you grow when you're in relationships, because those relationships are hard and difficult. And you know what? Most problems are relationship problems because you can't get along with somebody else. You know, you're immature, you're selfish, and most marriages are destroyed simply because two people are selfish and immature and unwilling to serve. You know, people aren't having kids today. I don't want to have to be tied down with kids. Why? I want to have my time, me time. Oh, so when you come in from the field, you deserve a pat in the back. No, it's your duty. And you grow by serving. And so God says, look, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you a gift. And if you'll take it and if you'll invest it, you can feel really good about what you're doing. Because you know you're making a difference in the life of someone else. You know your gift isn't to stand up here and speak. You know, but your gift is just as important. You may open a door. You may pass out a bulletin. You may watch kids in a nursery. You may usher. You may sit behind a camera. There's all kinds of places. You know, I'll help come clean up. I'll serve. You know, well, I'll just serve if there's something I really like to do. That's not what servants do. Servants serve. And if you're going to be the person God wants you to be, and more importantly, if you're going to find fulfillment in life, you will never find it until you're serving the body of Christ. Not my words, God's. Now, there is one little caveat to this that is very critical and very important. You should be enthusiastic to serve. If you've got a poor attitude, save it for when you get home. If you're just going to be grumpy and mean, oh, hi, how you doing? Come on in here. Would you hurry up? The door's open. Would you get in here? Would you take this and be quiet and go sit down? It's about to go. You know, what are you doing wearing that? You should go on. Come on. You know, you look a little tired today. You're sick. You feel like, oh, go on. Yeah. No. Well, Pastor, that's just the way I am. Well, good. That's why you're a Christian. You need to fix it. And see, that's what God says. I'm going to help you grow up. I'm going to help you be mature. This is a job you get to do. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. It is a privilege to serve God. It is a joy to serve God. And how do I serve God? I serve others. Well, I serve God my own way. Hold it. No, you don't. God tells you how to serve. He tells you where to serve. He gives you a gift to serve. That's not for you, that's for others. But when you give it to others and when you serve others, you find the fulfillment in life. Romans 14. The kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or what we drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. I want to build you up. I want to serve. Well, you think this is all about the church? Yeah, I do. And if you don't, then there's a little prayer I never want you to pray. It begins like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You better skip this next line. Your kingdom come. His kingdom is here on this earth today in the church. If you want His kingdom to come, are you serving in it? That's how important this is. You see, we are in a spiritual battle, aren't we? And the church is fighting for its life. The great thing is we win. we win. And wouldn't you want to be a part of something that wins? You know, 1 Corinthians 15:58. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong, immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nobody might notice, but God does. So here today, we are at a place where I want to bring out the best of you. It begins with a walk by faith, by you choosing to follow God by faith, not having all the answers, never having all the answers, but choosing to believe and trust in Him anyway. And you're so committed to that that you're willing to get involved in it. And so you allow God to help you change your mind by studying His Word and knowing what's there and thinking more spiritual than carnal, being unselfish, and you begin to change how you think and you begin to enter into relationships with people that, you know, it's just, I got to love the body of Christ, all people. I need to do that. That helps me. It helps me grow up. I'm going to get involved in a group. I'm going to do things because, you know what, I need to mature and grow because I got something to offer somebody else. And they need what I have to offer, and I withhold it, then I'm not hurting just me. I'm hurting the body of Christ. And I don't think Christians understand this deep enough and well enough, how critical this is in your walk with God. And so we do this, not because, oh, we got to have this, and we got to fill this. No. We do this because this is the way God has lined things up for you to grow. And God wants that to bring out the best of you. And if you'll work with Him, He will. It means I don't always get my way. It means I'm willing to lay down what I think for somebody else. It means I'm willing to consider others more than me. It means I'm willing to take my time and invest it because I've got a gift that God's given me to invest in other people, the church. Colossians, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master that you're serving is Christ. Is Christ.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.